Are you ready to take your intermittent fasting lifestyle to the next level? There's nothing better than community to help with that. In the Delay, Don't Deny community, we all embrace the clean fast, and there's just the right support for you as you live your intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can connect directly with me in the Ask Jen group, and I'll answer all of your questions personally. If you're new to intermittent fasting or recommitting to the intermittent fasting lifestyle, join the 28-Day Fast Start group. After your fast start, join us for support in the first year group. Need tips for long-term maintenance? We have a place for that. There are many more useful spaces beyond these, and you can interact in as many as you like. Visit jenstevens.com/community to join us. An annual membership costs just over $1 a week when you do the math. If you aren't ready to fully commit for a year, join for a month, and you can cancel at any time. If you know you'll want to stay forever, we also have a lifetime membership option available. IF is free. You don't need to join our community to fast. But if you're looking for support from a community of like-minded intermittent fasters, we're here for you at jenstevens.com/community. That's jenstevens.com/community. These days, achieving my health and wellness goals is more about making healthy habits that stick and less about quick fixes. And that's why I love Daily Harvest. Daily Harvest takes care of the planning, prep, and cleanup by delivering my favorite veggie and fruit-packed options straight to my door. Yesterday, I had a sweet potato and wild rice hash harvest bowl to open my window, then a great dinner with Chad later on, and then I had an apple and spiced oat bite to close. I'm going to have to start hiding those from Chad because he loves them too. Not really. The solution is simply order more. Create healthy habits that last with Daily Harvest. For a limited time, go to dailyharvest.com/ifstories to get $30 off your first box plus free shipping. That's dailyharvest.com/ifstories for $30 off your first box and free shipping. dailyharvest.com/ifstories. Welcome to Intermittent Fasting Stories. I'm your host, Jen Stevens, author of the New York Times bestseller, Fast, Feast, Repeat, as well as the book that started it all, Delay, Don't Deny. I lost over 80 pounds thanks to intermittent fasting after learning how to delay my eating rather than denying myself the delicious foods I want to eat. Now, who's ready to hear an inspirational intermittent fasting story? That's why we're here. So let's get excited to talk to today's guest. Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 239 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. Today, I'm here with Nikki Shank. Nikki lives in Fishers, Indiana, and she is a pediatric physical therapist. Welcome, Nikki.
Thank you so much.
Really glad to talk to you today. And, you know, I like to start by asking, what brought you to intermittent fasting and when was that?
I was waiting and looking forward to my daughter's upcoming wedding. That was going to be at the end of May in 2021. So, like you, I've been doing my whole life a little bit of yo-yoing with my weight and all that. And I had an important event coming up. So I was like, well, it is time to think of what I'm going to do next so that I can be successful and look good at my daughter's wedding. You're going to see everyone you know there.
Right. And the pictures are forever, right? Oh,
forever. And it's a big event in our lives. So I wanted to get started. And I always leave myself a lot of extra time. So it was, I think, September 1st of 2020, about 8 months before her wedding, when I started thinking about what should I try now? And it's true what they say about people planting seeds, because my best friend, Jody, her husband, for a long time had been just sharing and talking about intermittent fasting. And I listened, but I wasn't ready to do anything at the time. But when I was trying to think of something new to do, you know, all the words and stories that he had told kind of popped in my head. And I thought, well, I should try that. So that's what I did. I just started looking into it. Intermittent fasting. And the first thing I did was search a podcast. And of course, yours and Melanie's popped right up. And I just started listening from episode one and tried to learn as much as I could. And quickly, I realized you had a book out and that you had already done Fast, Feast, Repeat at the time. So I got that right away and read it immediately, and everything seemed to just really make sense to me. So from really the very beginning, September 1st of 2020, that was my new thing. And honestly, I didn't know if it would be a forever thing the first day I started, but now I know that it is. It's definitely something I don't ever want to have to give up for any reason. I hope I don't have to.
I love that too. I've said that same thing before. Like if I had something that was wrong with me and I went to the doctor and the doctor said, the only way to cure it is to stop fasting, I'd be like, oh no, I don't want to.
I would be so sad.
Me too.
I really would.
Yeah. I can't imagine anything that would make you have to stop fasting though. So that's the good news.
I know. I'm trying to think of what that would. Maybe if I had to take medications with food or something. Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. So that's how I got started. And I think it made a lot of sense to me because I know you've heard of the Four Tendencies quiz by Gretchen Rubin.
I have.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm definitely a questioner, maybe somewhere between a questioner and an upholder. I'm very internally motivated. You know, if you ask all my friends in the past, every diet I tried worked because I wouldn't let it fail. Yeah.
You did.
I internally motivate, but also it made so much sense to me, you know, like knowing the why behind it. Mm-hmm. It was such a, already like instinctually, I'm a believer in the body and how it can do a lot for itself, you know, if it's allowed, and kind of a naturalist. I love medicine too. I'm a physical therapist, but I love the fact that our body is so capable.
Yes.
And that everything that I learned through your book and the podcasts and just really resonated with why it should work and why it can work. And so that helped me. It's kind of opposite of what I was taught though. You know, in physical therapy school, I can tell you, you know, exactly where I was sitting when in physiology class, we saw on the big screen in front of us a person who was very obese and, you know, couldn't even fit on the hospital stretcher. And I remember them telling us, did you know that people gain weight from eating more calories than they expend? And I was like, yeah, that's true. Calories in, calories out. And they said, do you know at this age how many calories per day this patient would have had to overeat to become this size? And we were all guessing, you know, and it turned out to be the equivalent of 2 Oreos extra per day of their life that had gotten them to this point.
And that's, I was like, just, no.
Isn't that awful? And yes. I was like, I know I've eaten more than 2 Oreos extra many times. So my fate is doomed, you know.
Well, like, you know, mathematically, if our bodies did work like a math formula, then literally like eating one, you know, extra spoonful of rice a day and now you're obese. I mean, you know, but that's not how the body works. Our bodies are not static. They ramp things up, they slow things down. Oh my goodness.
And I remember reading part of Jason Fung's book, that aha moment of it's not calories in, calories out. And you can't continue to eat less and move more forever. You're going to hit the bottom and then you're going to be in, your metabolism's going to be in the toilet.
Right.
So that made a lot of sense to me too. So really just starting there with your books, his book, trying to debunk all the stuff you've kind of been taught your whole life, or for me in physical therapy school as well.
Yeah, that really is true. And we were just told so many things that when we look back on it, we know that, oh, in my experience, that wasn't true. But at the time, it sounds so logical because it is true that if you eat too many calories, you will gain weight. But it's not true that you can mathematically determine what your body needs and then mathematically calculate them and know what your body's going to do with the expenditure, because so many things are going on. You know, I talked about in Feast Without Fear, a twin study that they did. Did you read Feast Without Fear ever?
No, I have not. I've heard you talk about it a lot.
It was my second book. It was also self-published. I wrote it a year after I wrote Delay Don't Deny. But I remember reading a twin study. It was an overfeeding study. And that, if everybody read that overfeeding study, they would understand that the flaws in calories in, calories out, because the twins, they wanted to see, you know, how much of
what our bodies did was related to genetics, I guess. It's been a while since I've read the study, but they put them all in a metabolic lab, meaning they watched them. They were all there under lock and key, eating the meals they were given, and they determined everybody's baseline caloric needs. And then they overfed them by exactly mathematically what would have accounted to an extra pound a week, like 3,500 extra calories. So they should have been gaining a pound a week. So they mathematically should have all gained a pound a week, but that's not what happened. Some of the people gained way more than predicted. Some didn't gain hardly any at all. And it was very tightly correlated to the twins themselves, though. Like what the twin did is more like what they would do versus what the people that were not related to them. So when I read that study, and I could have gotten some of the details wrong just now, like I said, it's been a while since I read it, but nobody mathematically gained exactly the amount that the formula would have predicted. So there goes that theory.
Pretty sure that's true in my case still. I mean, I feel like I overeat every day still, and I'm not gaining weight. So
do you ever feel hot after eating?
I do.
That's your body ramping up. And burning it off. And if I eat certain things, I feel hotter. Like if I overdo carbs, I can literally feel my body heating up and burning it off. It's fascinating.
I've heard you say that before. Yeah. And I paid attention to that because I do get hot. Although, you know, I'm 48 years old, so I wasn't sure if the hot was coming from the food or other problems I'm having.
Well, but that happens too. 48-year-old women are often hot.
That's what everybody tells me, but I think it has something to do with the food. I think I eat a lot of food.
So. Right, the thermic effect of that food. So it was September 1st, 2020. How much weight did you want to lose at that point?
I kind of had a number in my head. We had been to the Bahamas a few years before that. I remember when I was 140, I felt really strong and healthy. I didn't feel too thin because I'd gotten to that point before as well. You know, I'm 5'7", so 140 for me is really good because I hold muscle or gain muscle pretty easily. So I was pretty fit. I felt great. So I was going to try to get to 140. It was my plan. And when I started, I had about 40 pounds to lose, I thought. But then as I started losing weight with intermittent fasting, I got to, I know for sure, 30 pounds lost. And that's when I threw away my scale because I mean, I thought I knew how much I should weigh to look a certain way, but it didn't turn out that way with the body recomposition.
So you looked at 30 pounds lost the way you had expected to look at 40 pounds lost.
Correct.
I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah, I knew you wouldn't be. I did lose weight quickly with intermittent fasting. I lost at least 15 pounds right off the bat, like within the first couple months. So I think I had some inflammation, water weight, some things like that going on. And then from that point on, I lost about, I don't know, 2 to 4 pounds a month, depending on the month. Right before the wedding, I was pretty serious about looking good and fitting in this dress that I had. So I was careful, more careful. I didn't eat dessert every day like I do now. And I didn't have cocktails almost every day like I do now. So, and I remember thinking I'm exercising. So for, I think all of December and all of January, I didn't have any alcohol. I didn't have any bad food. I exercised all the time. And then I got on the scale and I lost 2 pounds. And I thought, okay, I felt good. You know, I was fitting in clothes differently and all that. But I'm like, this doesn't matter to me anymore. I don't want to know my weight because I feel successful until I look at that number. And then I just don't want to know.
But your body had changed so much. So you were clearly, because you were exercising, so you were clearly losing fat and building muscle.
Yeah. And I was in a size 2 dress for this wedding. I didn't want to be in a smaller dress. I'm like, what am I trying to accomplish?
A number on a scale is not what we want to accomplish, right?
Not at all. No, not anymore. I haven't weighed since that day. That was February 2021. So I thought about weighing for this podcast and I thought it'll just make me mad.
Yeah, I know. I would be mad too. I'm the same exact way because the last time I weighed myself was that day that I got mad and threw my scale away. And the only reason I was mad is because I thought the numbers should be different. I wasn't mad at my body. I like the size that I am. I don't want to be smaller, but that number, man. So Dr. Burt Hearing was really... He said that in his appetite correction book, the wording that he used, he said, do you want a goal weight or a goal body? And he said, what you want is a goal body. And that really stuck with me after reading his book. And I'm like, you're right. We want a goal body.
That's true. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying I don't have any room to improve, because I could. My husband and I are empty nesters. We have a daughter who's married now, and then we have a daughter who is a junior in college. We're here for a writing conference for her. She's actually self-published 3 books of her own.
Oh, so, I love it.
Yeah.
What's her genre?
So my daughter, Abby, she got kind of, she wouldn't like me saying this, I call her TikTok famous.
Oh, that's funny.
She started TikToking, and she took trends from TikTok and made them into Christian Bible stories.
Oh.
So her genre is Christian fiction. She writes fiction, but it always has a little bit of underlying tone of like a good message or theme of something that she feels comes from the Bible. So her name is Abby Was Bored on all those platforms, and she has done an amazing job. She's been really successful. She sold a lot of books in 5 different countries. She's only 20 years old.
That's amazing.
Duck Dynasty invited her down to work on a project with her, with John Luke Robertson. Like, she's had some amazing success. So it's been really fun.
See, that gives, you know, the teacher in me just got a little tingle. Because you know, what we have, the barriers are down now, right? With the whole, people can get, you know, like you said, TikTok famous, but also, you know, self-publishing. She's self-published her books. Her message is out there, and she didn't have to wait to be found.
Yeah. She has a following already. So she had a instant marketplace, and she's a funny one, because when I started intermittent fasting, she said, "Mom, this is terrible. This is not healthy. Do not do this." And she's one that, I don't know if she's my child, because she does not care about food at all. And
oh,
I am
gosh.
To the extreme. So I said, "Abby, have you eaten today?" She said, "No." I go, "It's 2:00. I go, "You've been fasting since 8:00 yesterday. Don't tell me this is bad."
And she's like, hilarious.
Oh, and she's super thin and beautiful. Like, no wonder she forgets to eat.
She naturally does intermittent fasting. That is so funny. "Mom, don't do it. It's dangerous."
Yes. And people have told me that before, you know, "This is dangerous. I'm not sure you should do this." And then if I ask them how long they go without eating, it's a good amount of time, almost as long as me. So I'm like,
right.
Well, this is not dangerous.
That's so funny.
How I feel really good. And she agrees with me now. She's on my team now, but
that's good.
She
can't help it, because she's an intermittent faster too, whether she says it or
not. That's true.
I love that.
I have a lot of friends and family that are doing it actually.
We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. "Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency. And in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories. Promo code IFSTORIES10 to get your Magnesium Breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/IFSTORIES. Promo code IFSTORIES10.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know, kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love, because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Takeoff 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
My husband, both my daughters, one accidentally. My best friend and her husband, the one that told me about it. My friend who does my hair, she's had amazing success. My neighbors, my brother, his wife. I even have clients. I go into people's homes to treat babies, and I can think of a couple of my moms of the babies I treat who have had amazing success. One has lost 46 pounds.
Wow.
Another one didn't have any weight to lose, but just started doing it, and she feels so good. And her muscle definition has, like, I noticed it without her bringing it up, I'm like, you are so toned and so fit. And she said, it's the fasting.
Yeah.
That's the only thing you've changed.
That's the part that's amazing, because people still will say, people who don't know will still say, oh, if you're fasting, it's eating up your muscle. People still believe that myth. And if you listen, you know that we just moved, you know, from Georgia to South Carolina. And so I was doing a lot of moving, a lot of lifting again, and my muscle definition came right back out. Because I had not been doing as much. I'd been maybe a little more sedentary than I should have been, but moving, and I could really see it in my arms. I could see it in my leg muscles. And I'm like, this is just from moving around in the fasted state. And I'm almost 53 years old. So
see,
it's not burning up my muscle.
No, it's not. And I really love that you don't even have to take in extra protein for you to build muscle.
Exactly.
It uses all that broken protein and builds it right back up. So
that's an important point, because people still also get tripped up by that. Even now, they'll say, it'll be someone in the community that is just started going to a trainer, and they'll say, I just started going to a new trainer, and they told me I must eat X number of grams of protein, and I must eat it within X amount of time. Or they'll listen to a podcast that, you know, women must eat X amount of protein, you know, or you're going to waste away. And I'm like, but you have to keep in mind that when we're fasting clean, autophagy is going on, and not all of your protein needs come from the protein you put in your mouth. You've got a lot of junky protein already that your body is going to recycle and upcycle. So, you know, just like all of our fuel doesn't come from the food we eat, some of it comes from our fat stores. Not all of our protein is going to come from the food we eat, because we got a lot of that junky stuff in there already. So that's important. You know, I didn't eat extra protein when I was moving to build extra muscle.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I love it. I feel like I'm not hungry until I start eating. And then when I start eating, I eat and eat and eat. I get made fun of sometimes because my husband and I, like I said, he fasts as well. Not as long as I do, but we are empty nesters and we love to go out to eat, which I think is different than you. I know you love to cook. I love to cook too. It's actually a passion of mine. Like, it's one of my favorite things to do, but I also love to go out to eat.
Yeah. So now, I will say I am loving more going out to eat here now that we're living at the beach, because there's a lot of places to go eat. So, so I'm actually thinking of having fewer meals delivered each week instead of seven nights eating at home, maybe going out twice a week. I don't know. So,
well, we go out more than we stay home at the moment, but it's because our favorite restaurant is less than a mile from our house.
Yeah.
So we love to walk there to Fox Garden, and it is a scratch kitchen, chef driven. They do not own a freezer. So it is all fresh food, and they do a special every single day. So the chef,
it's something different
every day. And I usually get the fish special or the seafood pasta or there are so many amazing, beautiful choices. So I don't feel guilty eating at a place like that. If I am at a, you know, lesser quality restaurant, I can definitely tell. And it's kind of sad.
Yeah.
You know,
the same way. We're lucky we're in Surfside Beach. And so my beach house is close enough to walk to three restaurants that are really great quality like that. Like they make things from scratch, and so I'm just really going to want to go to those more often than when friends are visiting.
We go so often. It's almost like Cheers there. We know all the people, and our restaurant was actually listed as number 52 in the nation on Yelp.
Wow.
So that's the kind of food I'm talking about.
That's exciting.
Yes.
And I wish we had that near us. I'd be walking there too.
Oh, yes. It's so much fun. And I post my daughter, who's a TikToker, and my other daughter, they were like, Mom, you need an Instagram. And I didn't have one at the time. And they said, you need to get an Instagram and post what you eat every day.
Yeah.
So I said, okay. So I have an Instagram called Nikki Special Tonight. And I just put the food that I eat on there. And everyone laughs because I eat at the same restaurant almost every day. And the other sad thing is, it's not a complete list, because usually I post what I ate there and then I go home and eat some ice cream or something really not good for me. But I'm loving it just because I can eat good foods and healthy foods and make sure I get that in my diet, but also enjoy some of the things that on my other crazy diets in my life, You know, I couldn't even taste something because it had a tablespoon of milk in it and I wasn't eating milk at the time or whatever. So
what were some of the crazy things that you did? What was your diet history like? Like, when did you first start dieting?
Well, you know, I think I started when I was about 16 with really no reason looking back, just in my head about I should look a certain way. And I was an athlete. I played sports year round. I'm from a family that lives in southern Indiana in the country. We only ate whole food 90% of the time. My grandparents were Amish, so all my aunts and uncles, they cooked amazing food. I mean, but it was all fresh. I didn't even know. My kids didn't know. When they went to school and ate that big kerneled corn on their tray, they didn't know what that was because we grew our own sweet garden corn at home. And they're like, this is not corn. So,
oh, you're right. You know, that is really different.
Yeah, it was so different. And, you know, I didn't know that there was such thing as instant potatoes or stuffing out of a box. I just didn't know any of that. So I grew up eating really good food. But I don't know. At the time when I was 16, I thought I should try to lose some weight. And I remember low fat was really big at the time. I think the turning point on that diet for me was I was eating so low fat. I was eating all those meals prepackaged and all that. I remember being in my car at 16 years old and starving. And I ate like a whole giant pack of Rainbow bubble gum, like those big gumballs, just to get calories in me because I just didn't have enough calories. And I thought, this is silly. That was my first experience. And honestly, it worked. Everything works. If you eat low fat, I could lose weight on low fat.
Yeah, I lost weight on low fat. I also looked really awful because your body needs fat, right?
I think so too. They weren't talking about avocados back then.
No.
You know, we weren't. We were just eating whatever we wanted. I was doing aerobics on a video and eating low fat. Honestly, I didn't have a lot to lose then, but I did lose weight on it. And then early on, I think when I was maybe after I had the kid, I can't remember when I started, but Weight Watchers was something my mom had always done. And she's a lifelong member because she met her goal and all that. So I knew all the Weight Watcher points. I didn't really even go to meetings. I could just tell by looking at something. Oh, right. That's 1 point. But I do remember my youngest daughter once saying to me, holding up a French fry and saying, how many points is this? And I thought, well, this is not good either.
How many points is that? Is one fry even a point? I don't know. I never did Weight Watchers, which is astonishing because I did everything except that.
I know. I can't believe it because I feel like you've done everything.
I don't know why. I guess because I watched my mom do it. And when she did it, it was like the 70s/80s and it was weird. And I think I was like, I don't want to do that. Like just from watching her.
It's no fun. I mean, that and MyFitnessPal, I feel, are very similar just because basically 50 calories is 1 point on Weight Watchers. Okay. So it's the same thing. I was always recording while I was eating. Like it just was no fun. I'm like, I'm not even enjoying my food. And I would be like you, I've heard you say this before. I would try to save up all my points till the late in the day because I wanted to be able to eat a good meal, but it was just exhausting. I mean, I don't know who can keep that up for long. At least I can't. I don't know.
Yeah, I remember the days of counting calories. And I guess that's probably also another reason I never did Weight Watchers because I knew I didn't want to be in like a group. Like I didn't want to be in a group of people. And I think that was one thing that Weight Watchers really got you, that group of people, which is funny because now I'm like all about community. But I didn't want to drive somewhere.
pay for it
and be in a group of people. Once we had the internet and Facebook, that's when I started getting into groups of things. But I was could do that alone and with people at the same time in those groups. But to me, I just thought, why not just count calories? Those points are like calories. So I would just always go back to that. But I would save up my calories. I can remember talking to Chad, and you know, we'd been brainwashed that breakfast was the most important meal of the day. But I can remember saying, I've only had 200 calories all day today, and that's actually not very good for you. But that's what I thought, you know. I should have had 0 calories by then, but who knew?
That would have been better. We would have known. We would have known we could have saved all our calories.
I did know that I felt better. You know, the earlier I started eating, like you said this earlier when we first started, once you start eating, you're hungry.
That's true. I also did a diet. I don't know if you've heard of Chris Carr.
I have not.
She wrote a book called The Crazy Sexy Diet.
Maybe I have.
She had cancer and she.
Okay. That's where I've heard of her. Yep.
Yeah. She uses food as medicine.
Was her cancer book like called Crazy Sexy Cancer or something? Did she
Maybe.
Have a book?
I never read that.
Okay.
I just read the diet one. But that resonated with me too, just because I do believe whole food is good for you. And I believe that
food is medicine.
It is. It really is. Took it to the extreme when I did hers. I did vegan for almost a whole year. I added no gluten, no white sugar. I had a lot of restrictions on that one. That was one that I remember people asking me, taste this, or and I'd be like, I can't.
That sounds hard.
It's exhausting, but I also love the food. I have, still to this day, I have some amazing recipes that I got when I was doing that type of diet that I still love. So it's not that I didn't love that food. I just, I didn't eat any meat and I didn't eat any processed carbs at all. And currently I'm enjoying steaks and pasta and pizza and all those things. And it's
right.
way more fun. So
I'm not sure true.
It's medicine all the time for me. And sometimes it's just for good taste.
Well, that's important too. There's the ish in there, right? We don't have to be perfect all the time because that's exhausting. Not being able
it
to
really
eat something
is.
That you want to eat because it's delicious. Sometimes we eat because it's going to have a lot of nutrients. Like I had a daily harvest bowl the other day, and it was one I hadn't had before. And I have a few that are my absolute favorites. And this one wasn't as delicious as some of the ones I've had before. It was still good, but it was full of nutrients. And I'm like, this is what I'm eating because I'm eating like a grown-up for the nutrients.
Sometimes you have to do that.
I did. I ate it. Yeah.
I ate what I thought was a lot of nutrients on this crazy sexy diet. But the culmination of it all, I was doing that diet because my brother was getting married at the time. And I broke my foot at the wedding dancing.
Oh.
We have a little place in our town that has like a natural health specialist, a doctorate of, I forget what she's a doctor of, some sort of nutrition. And she told me, she said, if all the food you were eating had all the vitamins and minerals that they were supposed to have, you would be much healthier. But she said, mm-hmm. our soil's depleted.
Yeah.
Even though you're trying to eat organic, it's just, you would have to eat this many oranges to get what you would have, you know, 100 years ago, or this many peppers or whatever. So I did feel like, wow, I was trying the hardest I could to be healthy, and I was still wasn't getting all the things that I needed. I was lacking, I think I was lacking protein for sure. I was lacking.
Probably.
Lacking. Yeah, I was lacking calcium, just some things that my body needed. So my hair was, looking back, my hair was breaking off. I was super thin. I probably weighed 30 pounds less than I do right now.
Wow.
And I couldn't stop. I started adding cheat days just to, so I could stop losing weight. But you cannot chew that much food and keep weight on. So
it's good that you realize it's not all about, you know, just losing weight, you know, health. You could tell you were not at your optimal health at that weight.
I was not. And I don't want to be that thin. You know, it's good to have some curves and look healthy and strong. So yeah, I'm done with that. But I gained a lot of good habits from that too. Some great foods. And I do like whole food and I like healthy food. So I'm not against all that. I just add in some of the other foods that I love as well now.
Absolutely. Have your tastes in food changed at all or not really? Because it sounds like you always growing up eating what a lucky childhood you had, by the way.
I know. My kids are spoiled too. You know, like if we have to miss a holiday down home, they're sad because
it's good food.
It's good food. And it's all homemade and it may be not healthy. Like, you know, there might be fried potatoes and mashed mm-hmm. potatoes and all those
oh,
things.
Oh, I would eat all that.
Yeah. One Thanksgiving, we had 7 different kinds of potatoes on the table and my kids were like, this is the best day ever.
Oh, I would be in heaven. And I don't know if I've said it on the podcast or not. We do not do potatoes at our family Thanksgiving.
Huh?
Isn't that weird? I know. We have the dressing. We have, but we don't have potatoes. We've never done the potatoes. I know that sounds weird because that's like a big thing on everybody's table. I'm like, nope, we put our gravy on the dressing.
Yeah. Until, because we're all from Southern Indiana and growing up the way that we did, I'm not joking. Every single meal I ate as a child, the sides were mashed potatoes, noodles, and corn.
Like all three?
All three. And we would mix them up and pile them on top of each other and
enjoy
those together. So we didn't even know you needed gravy until like my cousin started dating someone that came to all the family things. And he's like, where's the gravy?
Oh, I do love gravy.
Then we had to start having a token bowl of gravy because we didn't need it. We mixed all our noodles and potatoes and corn together.
That's so funny. We have to have a starch at dinner or Chad complains if we don't. You know, like if I order a meal or like, you know, let's say it's a Green Chef meal that doesn't have a starch, I have got to make some rice to go with it.
I've heard you talk about your bread. You used to make the bread and then.
Yeah, and I have gotten out of the habit of that and I haven't made bread in a long time, but I miss that. I haven't had time. It's really time consuming. That's been the problem. I think I got out of the habit when I was working, when I was under deadline for Cleanish and I didn't have time.
Yeah. So to answer your question, I've always had good food. I've always loved good food. I've always loved bad food too, though. I mean, we also grew up with bags of Doritos and a candy drawer full of Snicker bars and Reese's cups. So food was never like taboo at our house. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, I had a healthy relationship with it. I just also wanted, I had this idea of how I should look, and that's where all the dieting came from. I think I just wanted to, like everybody else, feel and look my best, thinner than I was at sometimes. But the food itself, I never had problems with my gut, like Melanie talks about, you know.
Right.
I would say I had an iron stomach. Nothing ever bothered me. But I did find one food through fasting.
What is that?
So it's not even a real food. It's a powdered cheese that's like on Cheetos.
Yeah.
Or sour cream and onion or sour cream and cheddar chips. And I can still eat it. I just can't open my window with it. You know what I'm saying?
Does it send you straight to the restroom?
No, it just makes me feel nauseous. Like I feel like I could vomit.
Okay.
It's so funny because I've never had that feeling before with food. But when my daughter had her bachelorette party in Nashville, we had driven all the way there and I was fasted and we had these big giant bags of Cheetos and I just started eating a bunch of Cheetos
and it
immediately
made you feel
felt sick. Yes. And then three times since then, I've opened my window with something like that and felt, well, I'm like, oh, this is probably not something my body likes.
Powdered That's cheese. So interesting. See, my body still is fine with the powdered cheese. Cheesy,
you can open
crunchy,
your window
salty
with
things.
It.
I can't. I can open my, yeah. Like there have been times that I've been, you know, at the grocery store running around doing something and it's late and it's time to open my window. And I'm like, you know, I'm about to go home and I'll make something, you know, better then. But I'm going to go ahead and get this little tiny bag of Doritos and eat it on the way home. And then I'll have something better. So it doesn't make me sick. But I definitely wouldn't like only be able to eat that because I need something else with it. I would not feel good if I only had that. But there have been times I've done that, you know, and I can't buy a bigger bag like that pirate booty or a big bag or something like that. I cannot because that whatever size the bag is, that is one serving to me. So I just can't do it. So if they have little bags, I can do it. But so powdered chip cheese is not something.
It's not something that I do well with to open my window. I can still eat it. And I still do, actually.
In the middle. It has to be sandwiched between other foods. So.
Or at the end. Really it doesn't matter. The end is fine, too. But yeah. No, I just had a meal here last night that was absolutely amazing. I've never had bouillabaisse. Have you ever had that?
I haven't because it's fish. I would not eat it.
Oh, you would not eat fish.
I don't like fish.
I love fish.
Yeah. I wish I did. And now that I live at the beach and I don't eat fish.
I don't know if you're living in the right area.
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of great things here that are you can eat that are not. I would have like fried shrimp. I would eat that. But I eat she crab soup. She crab soup is really good.
I've not had that.
Oh, have you not?
I have a very short list of foods I don't like. So I'm sure I would like it.
But the bouillabaisse was delicious.
It was so fun and so good. Yeah. I don't know. I love every food, I think.
Well, that's good. So when the wedding came around, you were at your goal size.
It was.
And that was a size 2.
That was in that dress. You know how things are.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It could have been. Who knows?
Jeans.
Yeah.
I have jeans from size 2 to 6. And I don't know. I have jeans that I wore before I lost weight that I can still wear because they were so stretchy. Mm-hmm. I did get finally, even just recently, get the waist taken in because, I don't know, I just felt like they didn't fit as good as they should. But sizes are such a crazy thing.
They are.
Yeah. But, you know, my scrub pants do not stretch. And I've been wearing them for over a year. And I know I haven't gotten any bigger. So
that's good.
That's kind of my honesty pants. So
that's what I hear about scrubs. You know, I've never worn scrubs for a job. But you hear that about them. They definitely are going to be your honesty pants. So you've been maintaining, which you said, for a year?
Yep. At least a year. I probably was at my goal a few months before the wedding. So. Yeah, over a year, and I've been fasting a year and 3 quarters now, so almost 2 years. So
Awesome. So you here in maintenance, you haven't had any struggles. Did you relax your window a bit?
I'm definitely more relaxed. I didn't eat any breakfast for probably the first year. I just didn't want to. And that first year I was just really concerned with losing that weight and keeping it off. So I had a much tighter window. Sometimes I would only eat my window progression was an interesting one, probably different from anyone you've ever met. But
well, I can't wait to hear that.
I've ended up in the evening window. And usually when I start eating, I eat until I'm tired eating or fall asleep. But kind of like Melanie, when she starts eating, she just keeps eating. But
that's me too, really, for the most part. I don't stay up a long time after I've finished eating.
Yeah, because we're tired.
Yeah.
We want to go to sleep. We're digesting our food.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, but at times when I was losing weight, I would have like a 23-1 window. And I was fine with that. I honestly just eat longer now because I know I can and I like to.
And it's fun and it's delicious. Food is enjoyable.
And for us, it's super social. That's, you know, our entertainment is going out to dinner, meeting friends and having, you know, our social time with that. So.
That's why I think that we'll probably go out more because like the other day we were running errands, paying our car tax, like welcome to South Carolina, pay your car tax. You know? And so we had to do that. And then we ran over to the beach house and I'm like, you know, we could go down to this little bar down the street here that we could walk to. And they have live music starting at 4 p.m. every day. We could listen to live music and have a beer. And he's like, all right, let's do that. So we did.
So that's us almost every single day. So
yeah,
we got to stop that. My oldest daughter is going to have a baby in January.
Oh, how exciting. Congratulations.
I know. I'm like, my time at Fox Garden is limited, Alex. And he's like, no, this is not your baby. You don't have to stay home.
How far away does she live from y'all?
Like 10 minutes. And they're building a new house right by us. So I'm going to get to see this baby.
Yeah. Oh, there's nothing better than that.
I can't imagine. I really love being a mom, so I know I'm going to really love being a grandma, even though.
Well, I think it's like way better than being a mom, honestly.
I think so too. I think so
too. From what I hear from my friends, it's like all the good stuff about being a mom only times 10 and not the bad stuff.
I'm ready for that. I'm ready.
Well, that's exciting. That's super exciting.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/youknowbusiness.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
Yeah, but my window was strange. Like almost everyone you talk to with coffee who love coffee, I did not want to give up that cream.
Yeah.
But I'm also one who likes to be successful in my whatever I'm doing. And I had to count that cream because I knew about the clean fast because you had told me. I started my windows at the very beginning with my morning coffee with cream. So I'd open my window at 8 and I really wouldn't eat until I ate. I treat babies in their homes and I make my own schedule. And most of my visits are from morning till early afternoon. So I would just eat when I got home and then I would close my window. So that's how it started out.
And how long would you say that period of time was?
I would say between around 6, sometimes
six
a little
hours.
Longer, from like 8 to 2 or 8 to 3. Something like that. But I started out that way in the week, but I quickly realized I don't like my weekends for my window to be closed early. I wanted to, you know, go out to dinner and have fun. So I would have that morning window early in the week. And then when Friday came, instead of eating early, I would make myself drink black coffee and I would wait until we went out to dinner at night.
Yeah.
And so that was so fun. And so on the weekends, I would switch. I would eat Friday night And then I would wake up Saturday and I would drink black coffee again. I would choke it down. And then I would eat again on Saturday night. And then Sundays were kind of longer windows. I don't know what it was about, just family time and opening my window a little earlier. So by the time Monday rolled back around, I felt like I totally indulged. So Mondays I started, not right away, but not too long after I started doing just my favorite coffee with the cream all day. That was it.
So you were kind of having a down day.
Yeah, I didn't know about that day yet. I hadn't learned about the alternate daily fasting, but that's what I was doing. I was kind of having a down day after all my indulging over the weekend.
You were having like a mealless Monday, but with coffee.
But with coffee with cream.
And you didn't know about having an up day the next day, though. So
I didn't. But, you know, I always ate so much food during my window that I don't know if, I mean, I know you're supposed to eat longer time.
But right.
I had a lot of success like that. And then I finally realized after choking down black coffee on Friday and Saturday that I could do it every day. And I'm like, why am I messing around with this? So I went from my crazy schedule, switching from mornings to nights and mealless Mondays to I just eat every day in the evening.
Yeah.
Much like what you do, except I think I start a little later than you. Most days I open my window around 5:30, 6:30. But I probably eat later than you too.
You probably do because I'm an early to bed kind of girl. That's my problem. I can't really stay up very late. I don't like to because I wake up so early. When my friends were just here for four nights and we stayed up really, really late. But my circadian rhythm is it's 5:30. I hear my eyes are open. And even if I was up till 2, I'm awake at 6. And, you know, that's not very good.
No. And I have a little bit of that going on at my house. I have an 18-year-old doggy that likes to get up super early all of a sudden. So
oh, gosh.
Now I'm getting up early. He's kind of confused. So
normally, would you stay up later and sleep a little later?
No, I can't say I've ever slept in long. I would say 8 o'clock is late for me. I'm kind of like you. I like to get up early, but I can go to bed at 11, 12. And still get up around 6 or 7 and be fine. So,
yeah, I wish I could sleep in, but if I stay up late, I'm not going to sleep in. I'm just not going to get the sleep. So I can't do that very often. Right. After they left town, I'm like, it's 8 o'clock. I'm going to bed. Chad, good night.
I got to go. Yeah. Last night we went to bed pretty early here, but I did not sleep well at all. So I'm like, this is a terrible day to decide not to sleep in a hotel.
Was it kind of brighter than usual? And noises and stuff.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what it was. And I can't blame it on the food. I think it was just kind of a different atmosphere and being in a different place.
Yeah.
Probably. And not having my dogs and everything else that I'm used
to
having.
It's just weird. You're just hyper aware of being in a different place.
Yes.
So have you had any health victories? Anything? You know, it seems like you were in great health before.
I felt in good shape. I didn't have a lot of issues, but as far as like non-scale victories, the ones I've noticed the most is body recomposition. Like I talked about before, the last time I weighed way more than I thought I should. So I know that my muscle is gaining and my fat is less. And
right.
I never liked my legs before. Like I never wanted to wear shorts. I did, but I didn't love it. And now I love wearing shorts. So that changed. I went to the dentist recently and I've not changed one thing about my routine. And the dental hygienist said to me, "Thank you so much for taking great care of your teeth. You make my job so easy." And I thought, what has changed? Like, you used to yell at me for having too much plaque on my teeth.
Yeah.
So I guess it's the fasting. I don't know.
It's got to be. I've heard that before. You know, people have said that. And it just, we're having less hours of the day with stuff coming in.
I guess that's probably true. A lot less. That's true. Other things are like mood. I definitely feel really, you can feel that mood swing.
It's true.
And the energy level. This is a funny quote. One of our friends, I forgot to mention him, but another friend of ours started fasting and he said, you know, that magic hour between hour like 16, 17, 18, 19, if you go even into 20, he said, if you ask me to go over there, I might walk or I might fly.
But yeah.
He said, I feel that good. Like I could do anything. I'm Superman. And that's true. It's like that those magic hours of when you're super fasted. I just feel so good.
It's true. And, you know, someone in the community was talking this morning about struggling to get past hour 18. And she said, you know, I'm always so hungry at hour 18. How can I possibly go longer? And like, because that's that hard moment that if you go past it, the magic's right on the other side of it.
It is. And it doesn't last that long if you just
drink some water. The hard part is short. But if you always eat when you get to that hard moment, you'll never get to the magic. But the hard part doesn't last a long time. That's the thing.
No, it comes in little waves and it does pass. So I would tell people just, you know, sometimes I give in if I'm just bored at home and sometimes the mind gets the best of you. But if you've done it enough times, you know that it will pass. And you will.
Or if there's a different kind of hunger, because sometimes it's a different kind of hunger. And you know, you're like, I was sick a couple of weeks ago, and I don't get sick very often, but I was looking at the clock. It was like 11 o'clock. I'm like, okay, I can make it till noon. I had a little fever. And I'm like, no, I need to eat right now. And I just did. It was different. And I was like watching the clock, and it was 11:15, and then it was 11:30. And I'm like, why am I doing this? I've got to listen to my body.
Yeah. And I've never really felt bad from food, like I mentioned before. I didn't realize how good I could feel from not eating food all the time. That's the difference. But like, we went to Key West in February, and my husband loves breakfast, and it was vacation. So of course, you know, we had some breakfast and we ate longer than usual. And I thought, I'm going to feel terrible. And the truth is, I didn't feel that terrible. I felt fine.
Well, that's good. That's good.
But I didn't feel as good as I would normally feel.
Right.
And you start to miss that feeling.
And you probably chose foods that made you feel good.
Well, the funny thing is, because
or maybe
I don't
not.
Eat breakfast, because I don't eat breakfast often.
Yeah.
The waitress laughed at us at our first breakfast on vacation and said, is there something on the menu you would not like to see on this table?
I do love to go to brunch, like have a good breakfast brunch. We went, that's the way I ordered too. I went with my friends when they were here. It was 1 o'clock. So we delayed till 1 o'clock and had our brunch. And it's the same, like, well, first we need to have the avocado toast with the egg on it, because I got to have the egg. And then I need to, I get it. Those foods are just so good.
They are. And I don't miss breakfast, honestly, that much. But when I have it, I like to enjoy all the things. So
do you exercise at all? Or are you someone who has a good exercise regimen? What do you do?
I don't know if they have it where you live, but it's called F45.
I don't know what that is.
Okay. Do you know what Orange Theory is? Have you heard
I
of
do.
That?
Yes.
Okay. I used to do Orange Theory, and this is kind of similar. It's a class social situation type thing, but this doesn't have treadmills or rowers or like Orange Theory. It's all functional body weight kind of things with weights.
Okay.
There's a lot of burpees and pull-ups, and they will get out a rower, but you'll never do it for more than a minute. A lot of just functional exercise, and it's only 45 minutes. So
okay.
I actually love that. And I have done it up to 5-6 times a week, but I'm starting to injure myself.
Oh.
My age, I don't know what's going on. So I backed off to about 3 times a week currently. And that seems to be okay, although I still visit my chiropractor often.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm not giving it up. I said, I'm 48. Everybody says, you need to stop this. And I'm like, well, if I stop, then what?
No, I think we need to stay active. We got to keep doing something. I'd shared it on the last episode, but I just started doing water aerobics.
Oh, yeah. My
and
good
I'm
friend
so
Jody does it. She loves it. And
I love it. I've been 3 days in a row, and we have this indoor pool and different instructors, and it's the same people are there every day so far.
Yeah. And it's fun to exercise with people. I think it gives
yes.
you.
We're talking and chatting, so it's a very social time, and I don't have to go very far. It's like in my neighborhood. You know, it takes me less than 5 minutes. By the time I'm like a time to go and put on my bathing suit and get down there, it's 5 minutes from when I got up off the couch. So I'm really enjoying that. But I like to be in the water. And so I'm getting to move my body in a way that is fun. And it is really, really fun. So I hope it's something I can stick with.
Yeah, I think you will. You'll like it.
The key is fun. You like the, what is it, F45? Is that what you called it?
It's fun. F45. It is fun. It's also very hard, but gratifying.
So is there anything you struggle with?
Not really. And I realize that it's not that easy for everybody, but literally the very first day I started fasting, I don't know if this is even supposed to be possible, but I felt that metallic taste in my mouth before I started my fast the next day. I feel like I didn't have a lot of stored glycogen to begin with, so it was a very easy transition. I mean, I went quickly from those first few weeks of trying to eat in the morning till getting to one meal a day was probably 3 weeks at the most, and never really was angry.
That's good. Your body just took to it.
Yes, and I'm so grateful to you for the way you lay things out and the way you teach it, because just understanding the process and believing in it and knowing that what I was doing wasn't harming me, it was helping me, it just gave me such peace. I would just never want to give it up. So I'm really happy to have found that.
I love that. Well, we are almost out of time. What would you tell someone just starting out with intermittent fasting, or what do you wish you knew when you first started?
I would tell them how freeing and how, you know, the freedom is just, for me, it brings me so much joy. I don't have to count anything. I don't have to measure anything. Also, patience. You may not realize it, and hopefully for a new person, it will be a lifestyle as well, but I'm embarrassed to say I was one of those people on your post saying, I've stalled my weight. It's been 2 weeks. I haven't lost any weight. I mean, that's embarrassing. It's so embarrassing because—
Don't be embarrassed.
You know, a lot of things can be happening, and 2 weeks is nothing, but right. Be patient.
Yeah.
Also, it is not calories in, calories out. Don't believe it. It's not true. Don't worry about those two extra Oreos. And also just understanding that your hormones play a part in that too. Yeah. I do some of that as well. I get my hormone levels checked, and I feel so much more energetic and better when all that is balanced out. So listen to your body. Eat what it needs. Stop eating if you can when it's had enough. That's still something I'm trying to learn after 2 years. Enjoy your life and give your body a rest. Let it rest from eating and heal.
Yeah, I think that's so important. But the part that you said that's so important, enjoy your life.
I am having so much fun right now.
Intermittent fasting allows us to enjoy our lives.
To literally look at a menu and pick anything that you want because you can. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And what sounds good might not be the thing that sounded good to you 5 years ago.
For sure.
It's something else.
I've always enjoyed good food and veggies and all that, but I also enjoy a good bologna sandwich and some ice cream, so it's all good.
Well, Nikki, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate what you have done for this community and for everyone.
Do you have an intermittent fasting story to tell? Email me at jen@intermittentfastingstories.com and I'll add you to the lineup. That's GIN@intermittentfastingstories.com. The world wants to hear your story. That's it for today. Remember, I may have a doctorate, but I'm not a medical doctor. So don't use anything you hear on this podcast as a substitute for medical advice. Please always check with your doctor or healthcare provider if you have medical questions. I'll talk to you next week, Fasting Family, where we will hear another inspiring story. Have a great week and fast on. Intermittent Fasting Stories is edited, mixed, and mastered by Resonate Recordings. To learn more, visit them at resonaterecordings.com or email them at hello@resonaterecordings.com. Intermittent Fasting Stories listeners will receive a free offer if you mention that you heard it on the podcast.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but two trials that ended in hung juries, and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law and Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.